Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Welcome back to another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Sorry we've been gone a little bit longer, but they say absence makes the heart grow fonder. I know it did for me, because I miss my two best friends in the world, Justin and Ray. Justin, how you doing today?
I am alive.
That's well, good. Small victories. Randy, are you doing better than just being alive?
I think I am. I have both feet firmly planted outside of the grave currently. Unlike Justin, who's 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
Oh, tell you what.
Well, I'll send you positive vibes. get your foot out of that grave. But we live in a blessed world. We got a couple trailers we're going to talk about in a second. But first, just wanted to talk about Blade Runner 2049 real quick. I know Justin and Randy haven't had a chance to see it, so I just wanted to kind of give my brief, spoiler-free kind of impressions of it. If you listen to the podcast before, you know that neither Justin nor I are fans of the 1982 original, and I think Randy is kind of mixed or ambivalent. Is that a fair statement, Randy?
That's a fair statement.
Yeah, but 2049 is a totally different ballgame. It is a pretty incredible feat of filmmaking, and it's 2 hours and 44 minutes, so that's kind of a barrier for some people who don't like long movies. It's definitely a slow and methodical burn, but it's a vast improvement over the original. In the characters in the original, you don't really care for any of them. You know, why would I care for Rutger Hauer's his replicant, knowing that he's going to be dead in like 2 hours? You know, Sean Young, even Decker to a small extent, you don't really care what happens to any of them. In this film, you're not introduced to a ton of characters, but all of them actually feel like characters, like fully fleshed out people or robots or whatever you want to call them. And it's really refreshing because you care what happens to every single person. And, you know, when they have victories, you're happy. When they have defeats, you're sad. And if Roger Deakins does not win an Academy Award finally for cinematography, since he keeps getting hosed by people like Chivo and stuff, there is no justice. This is easily the most stunning movie I've ever seen.
Wow.
And I mean, just choices in lighting, choices in framing, just, you know, these wide, epic, masterful shots. You know, he played in this enormous sandbox with these great practical sets and these huge models. And it's, from a filmmaker's standpoint, it's an incredible film. And I urge anyone who is a fan of sci-fi, anyone who's a fan of the original Blade Runner, anyone who's a fan of the technical aspects of making a film, not so much from the visual effects. There's plenty of visual effects movies out there. This one is also a good visual effects movie, but just the craft that went into forming this film is definitely a love letter to, you know, the original and what the original could have been. So definitely, it's definitely worth checking out. It does benefit from being seen in a large format, you know, like an IMAX or a LIMAX, if possible. But, you know, see it on the big screen, that's also fine. Sorry? What?
I'm just like, Betamax.
Betamax.
You were just naming all these maxes. I felt left out. This has nothing to do that you want to put Villeneuve's penis in your mouth. Thank you.
I do enjoy his films, I'm not going to lie, but this is if he can do for Dune, because that's rumored that his next movie is a Dune remake, if he can do for Dune what he did for Blade Runner, I am actually excited for the prospect of a Dune film. And you know I also hate that movie. There's no ambivalence about that movie. I hate the Dune movie.
All right.
So yeah, so when you guys get a chance next weekend or something like that, it is definitely worth checking out. Like I said, it is a long film, so if your significant other is one of those, I don't like movies over 90 minutes that don't star The Rock or Sandra Bullock, you know, you may want to go solo for this one. But yeah, you guys think you'll check it out, or are you guys interested?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's number one on my must-see list for the upcoming weekend, so yes.
Oh, nice. And Justin, you'll be excited because that little thing at Comic-Con we went to, that little, like, scene.
Yeah.
There's it's definitely prominent. You can definitely tell what part they were recreating at Comic-Con. And there's a fun little scene there. So I was like, oh, my God, that was, like, it looked exactly like where I was.
That's exciting. Like, I've been there. I've been to the future.
Ugly.
I totally had every intention of seeing it. I was just stuck in a hospital bed. So I'm sorry about that.
That hinders your movie-going experience.
It does. It really, really does.
But you were able to see the Last Jedi trailer from your hospital, and I'm sure that perked your spirits up a bit. So
yes, which, by the way, huge shout-out to my sister for sending that to me. I cannot believe that she beat you guys to the punch in sending me that trailer.
To be fair, I watched it like 6 times before I even thought about communicating with people.
That's funny. And Randy was at work, where he takes his work very serious and doesn't do anything except work.
It's exactly how I would describe it in front of my boss.
Who hopefully doesn't listen.
Yeah.
Putting out fires down there.
Yeah, so what was your first impression, Justin? Were you just thrilled to the moon, or do you have concerns?
Well, I liked the trailer, but I didn't... Like, so the text that sent me the trailer was, here you go, lots of Luke, you're welcome. And I was like, oh, that's exciting, but every Luke scene was him either being scared or just not wanting to be a part of it. So I was like, God damn it! So I got a little bit frustrated about that, but after rewatching it, I think it looks exciting. I do believe that there's a lot of sort of misdirection involved in this trailer. And what,
sure.
And what we're seeing isn't necessarily what we're getting, but it's fun to think about.
Yeah, I think they're setting us up for the rope-a-dope with Luke. Like, show us all of this just downtrodden Luke and get our expectations. Like, oh man, is he going to be just a grumpy fuck this whole movie? And then, like, halfway through when he's like, oh, I got to do this again, and he busts out that green lightsaber, we can all just ejaculate into the seat in front of us.
God, I hope so. If he pulls just Obi-Wan and just puts his saber to his face and gets his head chopped off, I'm going to be very, very mad.
No. And I definitely agree with you in those misdirections. It's clearly when Kylo Ren is holding, like, his fingers on, like, the trigger, and you see it cuts to Leia, those clearly aren't connected scenes. You know, you got all the people in the background just going about their day. If they were an imminent, we're about to get shot up danger, I think there'd be some, like, warning lights or maybe some people running around or something like that. Plus, there's definitely a Mon Cal back there, and I have to think it's Ackbar, and no Kylo Ren's getting the jump on my boy Ackbar. We better make it through this movie. Someone had mentioned, like, what if Ackbar dies? I'm like, no. He's the only one safe in this movie. But what did you think, Randy? What were your impressions?
I kind of, the first time I watched it, I took it at face value. I'm like, this is where Leia dies. And I was okay with it. I'm like, good. And this is going to sound kind of morbid, but we've talked about it, you know, to death, so I don't need to go too far into detail. But I really do hope that there is a suitable ending for her character. And not to spoil anything, but there was, Mark Hamill did a panel at New York Comic Con this past weekend, and during it, he didn't really talk much because it was before the Episode 8 trailer dropped. So he didn't really talk much about it. But what he did say is that, and this could be a misdirect as well, but he did say that they were trying to figure out a good send-off for her character in Episode 9 because it would have been very Carrie-centric, whereas the first one was Han Solo's movie. Then this one is kind of arguably Luke's movie in terms of original trilogy, big three coming back. The third one would have been Leia's movie. So that leads me to believe that maybe she does somehow survive this film, but I don't know. I really do think they should kill her off, and I thought that would be a perfect way to do it.
I don't think Kylo Ren can do it.
That's the thing. I think he pusses out, and she's going to end up dying anyway because Either she'll get blown up by somebody else, you know, that because there's obviously an assault going on there, or Snoke's like hanging out there and pulls the trigger himself, that kind of thing, you know, from his super mega Star Destroyer, or whatever. And what's going to happen is Kylo Ren's going to come back, and Snoke's either going to bitch him out, or Kylo Ren's going to come back saying, yep, I'm the one that did it, I pulled the trigger, I killed her, and Snoke's going to know that he's lying, and that's going to be what kind of ostracizes him from Snoke's tutelage, which is what forces Kylo Ren to the good side, which forces Snoke's hand to retrieve Rey, because we see her in the trailer towards the end getting totally fucking tortured by him, and I think she's going to go dark. And at the very end of the trailer, I'm jamming all my theories down your throats right now.
I like it.
And at the very end, yeah, it's been stretched out by Justin. At the very end, when we are misdirected to believe that Kylo Ren is offering his hand to Rey, what if indeed he's gone to the good side and he's offering his hand to Luke?
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, and I like where your head's at. I've made no bones that I love Kylo Ren. I know you guys are lukewarm to I hate him, but I love Kylo Ren. And one of the things that makes him interesting to me is that Darth Vader was this big ominous presence who suppressed the light in him and denied that he had the light and denied his existence, to where Kylo Ren, you know, we've seen him with Han, that he has these moments, and even if they're fleeting and if there was only for a second, that he knows that he has the light in him, and he has to make the decision whether or not he just extinguishes that light or if he's going to let it shine bright again. And I'm hoping that I would love, since we're going full theory mode here, I agree that the Kylo and Rey, they're not, that scene isn't them together. What if they do unite, and so they unite, they kill Snoke, they become the baddies, and then Luke is truly the last Jedi?
I like the sound of that, too.
But you mentioned Snoke. What did you think of it? We got our first glimpse, real quick glimpses of Snoke. We saw part of his head and part of his robes. What was your thoughts, Randy?
I thought he looks great. And I don't know, it could just be my imagination, but he doesn't look, in his corporeal form, he doesn't look nearly as gnarly and fucked up as he did, as he appeared as a hologram in the previous movie, which leads me to believe, is he maybe regenerating? Mm-hmm. I don't know. His face didn't look as fucked up, and he's got hair. He's got, like, these old man hairy eyebrows going on. And I don't remember him. I thought he was hairless as a newborn, which I guess aren't really hairless, but I thought he was as hairless. I'm not going to finish that statement, but I thought he was hairless in that hologram, but he's got, like, old man hair, so I don't know. He's either got the Benjamin Buttons thing going on, or he's regenerating.
He's got the Webster's disease. What about, now obviously we're meant to believe that Luke's only seen this strength, this power in one other person, and then we're led to believe that it's Kylo Ren. Do you think it could be anyone else, Justin, or is this they're trying to make the relationship, you know, like the yin and yang there, like these two were two peas of a same pod?
Yeah, I'm led to believe that that it was Kylo Ren. He says that I've seen this royal power before, and it didn't scare me enough. And only in that he says raw power, so I would think that would come at like a young age where he's maybe being a mentor to Kylo Ren, as opposed to when he first met, you know, Vader. That necessarily, I don't think it's fair to compare the two. So,
yeah, that makes sense. And I'm with you on kind of the upset that Luke, you know, kind of was wishy-washy in this trailer. Isn't, when he's like, he basically said like, oh, you're too powerful to train. Isn't that the same bullshit they pulled in episode one with Anakin, and that turned out pretty bad? Why are they such idiots? I got this raw force talent who I can either train and channel it, or just release them on the universe, and they'll, God knows what'll happen. Well, why are force users such pussies, Justin?
I don't know the answer to that. I really don't know.
He's a mace to do up in there.
I am excited to see this whole flashback sequence of the temple burning and Luke kind of defeated. And, you know, he's really sad, and he's like, it's not going to end the way you think. I'm assuming that's the part where the Knights of Ren
comes up.
Sort of destroyed the temple. That part looks kind of neat. And if we could shift gears a little bit too, the part where Finn is taking on
Phasma,
his uniform looks fucking cool. He's like in like an, I don't know if it's a First Order's officer's uniform or what, but he looks pretty badass in those digs.
Yeah, he does look super badass.
And I like that.
There's one shot towards the end of the trailer where you see like all the troops assembling, and you see a First Order officer standing at the group of one of those, and he has those silver cylinders that some of the officers wear in their uniforms. It looks like Finn's uniform is the only one that I saw that has two on each side for a total of four on his chest. There's one officer that has those same four cylinders, and I'm wondering if it's him. He's kind of too far away to tell if it's his face or not, and his head's kind of down, so you can't really tell his face at all. But I thought that was kind of cool. I'm wondering how long he's going to be incognito in this movie.
Million assholes in the Resistance, and you got to send the one guy they recognize.
I know, right?
Well, supposedly that Rose character is infiltrating the place with him. Right, and we didn't see hide nor hair of her in this trailer.
Yeah, they didn't show any of the new characters. No Laura Dern, no Benicio del Toro's DJ, no Rose. The only new character we got was the Porg, which I'm just ashamed to admit was kind of cute, even though I'm a staunch hater of Porgs. When Chewie growled, Nick growled, I was like, God damn it, it's the BB-8 all over again.
Well, before you continue, can we talk about Chewie's mouth for a second?
Sure.
Did it look like overly CGI to you guys? Did it look like distractingly not real?
No, I didn't notice.
I don't think I watched it on my phone, so I don't think I noticed.
Oh, man, it bugged me. So I watched it on a 4K monitor at work, and I watched it over and over and over, and I'm just like, man... Maybe I'm just kind of spoiled and used to it being, you know, a dude in a rubber mask with hair glued to it and it being very practical. But it just looked so, like, his whole face just kind of had this CG feel to it, like the way that the hair moved and the way his eyes look and the way his mouth looks and everything. It made me long for the days where it was Peter Mayhew in a suit.
I watched it on my TV and I knew the Porg was coming, so I think I just kind of mentally braced myself each time.
Yeah.
So I guess I wasn't giving Chewie his just desserts.
Yeah, but give him a little mouth love.
I would have loved to have seen a glimpse of Ezra, I mean DJ.
Yeah. I'm glad to see that you're on that train now.
I think it would be very cool. Like,
God, damn it, cool.
And it doesn't cost them anything. It's only a positive, like, there's no negative to it. Like, it's not like... I mean, the only negative to it is that then we know Ezra survives Rebels. That's the only downside. And I think most people assume that he will. I think most people assume that Kanan's going to die. And, I mean, at least I do. Maybe I'm not most people. But it would just be a nice nod of fan service. I'm also cool. There's also rumors that he might be like Talon Card, which is a cool expanded universe character. I mean, if he's that, I'll even be more excited just because, you know, that's he's from the Thrawn books and stuff like that.
I'd be badass.
So, I mean, but I get it. If they don't want to make the universe seem small, they want to make him someone new. But it just seems like an easy fan service, you know, because we got new character Rose, we got the new character by Laura Dern, and, you know, just throw us EU fans a bone.
Speaking of Thrawn and New York Comic Con, there was a new Thrawn novel announced.
Yeah.
So that's exciting, too. I'm loving the fact that he's back in a big, bad way.
Yeah, I was pretty pumped. Yeah, Timothy Zahn's going to write it. They didn't give us any details about time frame, like when it takes place. And some people are speculating, oh, this must mean he survives Rebels. And until someone had said that, it had never crossed my mind that Thrawn would not live to see the same time frame that he spent so much time in the expanded universe. Like, it never even crossed my mind that Thrawn could be killed before, you know, post the Jedi. But once someone said that, I'm like, oh shit.
Well, be careful. You're right, because if you look at all the Rebels villains that have come before, they've all been like one season villains. It might as well be like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where none of the villains last more than one season in that show. So, and by that show, I just mean Rebels specifically. But, yeah, I was really hoping they aren't going that route with Thrawn. We shall see.
Yeah, Well, my boner is at full mast because of this trailer. I loved a lot of, I loved so much of it. I was getting worried because a lot of the marketing beforehand had really not been focused on Kylo Ren, and I was afraid he was going to have a diminished role in this film. And as the Kylo Ren defender of this podcast, I was happy to see him all over this trailer, and a little surprised that they gave away what seemed to be a significant amount of the story. I don't know if they gave away anything monumental, but we now know that at some point Rey will interact with Snoke, and you know Finn will have a fight with Phasma. So, do you think they gave away more than you expected, Justin, or they just gave us little flashes?
No, I think they gave away just the right amount, considering it's been months since we've gotten a new trailer, and the original trailer showed us absolutely nothing. We had nothing to go off that first trailer that they released. So I think that it was just the right amount to keep us going. Because we're still, 2.5 months away? 2 months away?
Just a little over 2 months, yeah. 2 months and a week.
I think that's good.
All right. Randy, do you think we'll see another trailer? Or you think this is it and we'll get some TV spots when it gets closer?
I hope this is it because I really don't want to see any more than what we've already seen. Yeah, TV spots for sure. We're going to get some new material. But, yeah, I feel like this should be it. And I think in terms of what the trailer told us, whether or not it was too much, I think it's just the right amount to get us really talking about it. And with all those possible misdirects in there, we could be completely wrong about what we thought we saw. One way or the other. Maybe it's face value. Maybe it's total 180. I don't know. But it was definitely designed to get people talking about it, and it worked.
Yeah, absolutely. And not to backtrack to Blade Runner, but I will. One of the things that I forgot to talk about Blade Runner 2049 that I really loved, I went into it having no idea what was going on in this movie. And I'm assuming that, I mean, the marketing was very well done in that it sold me on the film, but told me next to nothing. And it was a fun and unique experience. Like, I had no idea what was going to happen. So I wish Star Wars would adopt something similar to that because we're all going to see it. You know, the trailers are just to excite us. You know, we don't need, they're not to sell us in the film. Everyone's already sold on it. So, you guys got your tickets for Force Awakens, for Last Jedi?
No.
Yeah. I've got mine for IMAX.
Nice.
Film projection.
Justin's a rebel. He's going to like, I'm just going to get him. He knows a guy.
I'm not worried.
Uh-huh.
I'll probably be
It'll
working.
Only be playing every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll be able to find a showing. But switching gears to a trailer that may not be as good as the Last Jedi one, Justice League. You guys watched it. It's long.
Yeah.
Other than being long, Randy, was there something that caught your eye, excited you, or kind of was like, meh?
Yeah, you know who excited me through that entire thing? Aquaman. Somehow that trailer made Aquaman look like the most interesting character in the bunch. And whether it's just his silly little one-liners or just his raw enthusiasm, something just makes him so darn charismatic. But other than that, I mean, it looks more like the route of Batman v Superman rather than Wonder Woman. So I'm hoping we're not taking a big step backwards with this movie.
Yeah, Aquaman seems to be a real fun, could be a real fun foil for Batman's like dark brooding, and he's kind of like this high energy kind of guy. It's interesting. We've seen about 11 minutes of the movie based off of this trailer is about 3 minutes. We had the 4 minute trailer, and then we had two minute trailers. But I don't know nothing about this movie. I mean, other than the fact that there's these five people and they're going to fight somebody because we still haven't seen the villain of the film. Justin, is this good, clever marketing? You know, show us some fun visuals, give us an idea of what we're going to see, but don't give us really any story?
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm excited to see it. And all I know is that there's a bunch of bug guys flying around in what looks like a post-apocalyptic world. That's all I know. And they're shooting right. them. That's literally the only thing I know about this movie. Is that it's a pink and red world with bugs and bullets.
And everyone seems to come together with no incident.
Yeah.
The Avengers taught us that it's hard to get a team together. These people just seem to be like, yeah, whatevs. I'll join your little team. Plus, we got a little bit, Clark Kent in the trailer, a little Superman in the trailer, so that never hurts. But yeah, this trailer didn't thrill me. I mean, I'm obviously on board for a Justice League movie, and you know, I'm excited to see it, but the marketing campaign seems to be like a little off, and I don't know if that's because they don't have the film entirely pieced together since they have the Joss Whedon reshoots, and maybe the only thing they have to make trailers from is whatever was shot by Zack Snyder, which may change. So maybe that's why it's a little murky and the messaging isn't entirely there. Or maybe it's just I'm sick of DC movies because they're always in the news. But yeah, did this trailer excite you, Justin? Did it get you more excited for the film? Or
yeah, I stayed the same. I've always been pretty pumped about checking it out, but I'm expecting horrible, but I'm hoping to be pleasantly surprised.
Hope for the best, prepare for the worst?
Yes. I think there are going to be a lot of moments in this movie that I really enjoy, but I'm worried that it's going to be oversaturated with just dumb things that's going to drive me insane. Yeah, like Cyborg, and even just this world that I don't quite understand where they're even at. It doesn't even look like Earth half the time where they're actually fighting. So it's weird.
It is weird. That's one of the things the DCEU, I guess they're not calling it the DCEU anymore. They're trying to de-emphasize, you know, a shared universe. But anyways, the DC slate of films, like you take a film like Batman v Superman, and its timeline is so muddled in that Batman has clearly been Batman forever, but nobody knows that there's a Batman.
Right.
Like it seems like everyone's like, oh, there's this vigilante guy. I don't know what his deal is, but you know, based on the fact that he has a dead Robin, he's obviously been Batman for a while. And so it's just this weird, like, where's this timeline going? And I have a feeling this movie's going to almost like pretend like nothing else matters. And it's just this one little area that's just some desolate thing. And I don't know if I'm on that train, but I feel like I'm just rambling on about it.
Yeah.
We should stop.
Okay. That's fair. I do like The Flash, and I do like Aquaman from the trailers. I think Flash is pretty funny, and he's going to win over a lot of people in this movie. There are a lot of folks out there that pretty much just agree that Grant Gustin is their Flash, and I think Ezra Miller is going to surprise a lot of folks out there.
Yeah, he's a pretty talented dude. But yeah, I'm on Team Aquaman with you too. So. And then there was another trailer for Pacific Rim Uprising, which I found boring and uninteresting and made me less interested for the film. Took everything that Guillermo del Toro did and just tried to mimic it, but that's just me. Justin, you loved it.
I wouldn't say I loved it, but I thought it was fun. It looked like the world was going to end, but they didn't care because they were here to have a good time. Kind of like Armageddon. It's like just like a 2.5-hour beer commercial. The world's ending, but we don't care. We got our drinks in hand, and we're ready to do this.
I had a great seat.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It just kind of has like a kind of a punk rock vibe to it to me. I mean, I say that knowing full well that it's like fucking Tupac blowing in the background, but it was just sort of a positive energy trailer. I don't know, it's weird, it's hard to explain. It's like, literally, the world is ending and these creatures are going to kill everybody, but they don't care, they're here. They got their music, they got their Beats headphones, they got their giant mech things. What do we call?
Jaegers.
Jaegers, that's right. They got their Jaegers, they're going to go to town. And honestly, the only thing that was missing was them all forming together to fucking form Voltron at the end of that trailer.
Yeah, they're all standing there in like their flying V formation.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought it looks fun, and a movie like that, I think it needs to be fun. I think if it's too dark or takes itself too seriously, then it might lose something and it won't be enjoyable. And those movies need to be just popcorn, blockbuster, enjoyable movies.
Yeah.
What about you, Randy? You agree with Justin and that I'm an asshole?
Well, no, I'm actually going to take your side on this one because my eyes kind of glazed over after the first few seconds, too. The only thing that made me kind of snap out of my haze was the fact that I found a fun little Easter egg, and I don't know if it's an intentional one. There is a Jaeger that, I shit you not, the face looks like it was lifted straight out of Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. It looked like HK-47, the rogue assassin droid. I swear to God, it's even like it's got the same coloring. The face is practically identical.
Yeah, I didn't notice.
For those of you who may not remember exactly who I'm talking about, he is the droid that hates any kind of like organic life forms and calls everybody a meat bag. So look it up. HK-47 looks just like one of those Jaegers.
Try to find it out, but
Pacific Rim Uprising, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And Pacific Rim Uprising. These trailers were all released during New York Comic Con. Is that what the point of all these?
Pacific Rim was released on Friday. Sunday was Justice League, and Monday was Star Wars.
Gotcha.
So I think the only one that was actually a New York Comic Con one was the Pacific Rim one.
Gotcha.
You do got me. Like Sonny and Cher. I got you.
I got you good, you fucker.
Speaking of getting you good, fucker, you guys are excited about Thor Ragnarok, right? Comes out in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Yay.
Looks good.
And so so the Hulk obviously plays a large part in this film, and people, you know, it brings back the question of, are we going to get a standalone Hulk film? And Kevin Feige and Mark Ruffalo have been doing the interview circuit for promoting the film, and they kind of double down on the fact that they don't own the rights to make a standalone Hulk film, that Universal, who made the first two Hulk movies, has the distribution rights for Hulk. So Marvel could technically make a Hulk film if they wanted to, but Universal has the right to distribute it based on how their deal is structured. And so to get around that, what they're going to do is, over the course of the next three films that the Hulk is in, is presumably Thor Ragnarok, Avengers 3, and Avengers 4, they're going to tell a Hulk story over those three movies. So he'll have his kind of like his own little story arc that carries over. And I thought that was kind of clever, you know. And I think the Hulk is probably better in small doses like that. Wouldn't you agree, Justin?
Absolutely. I think that's fantastic news.
Are you in for more Hulk?
I am, especially if I don't have to look at Bruce Banner the whole time. It's hard to find that balance between too much Bruce and too much Hulk. So when you already have it in short doses, it's kind of cool, and especially if he's going to be in all of these other movies, then we get a bit of both all around. So I'm excited.
Couldn't have said it better. What about you, Randy? You excited for more Hulk?
Totally agree, and I also agree this is absolutely the best way to go. Small doses is perfect for Hulk. Big character, small doses.
Yeah.
Less is more. Less is more, Ranch. Sorry for you Angels in the Outfield fans. Fun directing news, Creed 2, Stallone's going to direct it. That should excite you, right, Justin? You love Creed, you love Stallone.
I do.
He directed Rocky 5, so we're in good hands, right? Is Creed 2 the Rocky 5 of the Creed franchise?
Oh, my Lord, I hope not. That would stress me out.
Well, if anyone knows these characters, I guess it's him.
Yeah. I think it's going to be okay. I believe that Sylvester Stallone has very capable hands, and that he will keep this train moving in the right direction.
Does the idea of bringing Drago back into the franchise excite you?
It's not. Depends. If it's like just sort of like a meet and greet and like hanging out together kind of thing, then sure. But I don't want Drago to have a son and then Drago's son fights Adonis. I think that would be dumb.
Do you think it'll have something to do with the fact that Drago killed Adonis's dad? Like maybe it's kind of like a bad time?
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna be I don't know how to describe it. I don't know. Like maybe he's gonna be fighting a Russian athlete, and they bring Ivan Drago into the picture, and it kind of is bad news bears for Adonis, and that would be weird to confront your father's killer. I think that might put him in a bad place, and that could certainly add and build to the drama, but I have no idea where they're going to go with that. I just hope it's not a fucking Drago Jr. fighting Creed Jr. You know what I mean? I think that would be stupid.
I know. And he kills Drago Jr. It's like, I got your back, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's just no good.
Yeah, I see it going two ways. I see it either, like, maybe he's fighting a match in Russia and, like, Drago's, like, a dignitary who, like, is they just bring out to, like, say, hey, what's up? And then the other one I could see would be if they are trying to psych him out, maybe, as he's trying to train to fight somebody, like, the other guy arranges for, like, Drago to, like, stop by and, like, freak him out or something like that. But
right.
I'm hoping it's just a small part.
Right, I am too. And it's... I was always left with the impression that by the end of Rocky IV, Ivan Drago was, too, one of those people that was able to change, and he isn't such a bad guy in the grand scheme of things.
If I can change, you can change.
Exactly.
Everybody can change.
Exactly.
What about you, Randy? Are you excited? Are you satisfied with the competency of which Stallone directs his films?
Well, believe it or not, I think it'll turn out fine. I think he's at a point in his life where he's learned a lot. He might be a little overly nostalgic, which is why we're probably getting Drago in this to begin with. But I think he cares so much about that franchise since he created it himself that he's not going to steer it in the wrong direction. So I think he'll do fine. And I think bringing Drago back is a good idea. But then again, I like Dolph Lundgren, so what do I know?
Side note, Rocky V was not directed by Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, that's right. They brought back Kirshner, right?
Is John G. Avildsen.
Adelson. Yeah, he directed the first Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right. And Karate Kid. He directed Balboa. And I think he directed...
He did 2 and 3 and 4 as well. Stallone did 2, 3, and 4, and Balboa.
Yeah.
Some of those were good.
All the good ones.
all the good ones. 2's too long.
Oh, shit.
I enjoy 2 after Adrian wakes up.
Yeah.
Broken record over here. Speaking of broken records, we'll finish on kind of a fun story. Fun if you're not Tyrese Gibson, I guess. So if you were Tyrese Gibson, he's kind of like the stepchild of the Fast and Furious franchise, right, Justin? Like, one's seeing Fast and Furious for Tyrese Gibson. I mean, I like Roman as much as the next guy, but if he were to fall off a cliff or step on a landmine, the franchise would be just fine. So they announced that the ninth Fast and the Furious movie, hashtag F9, has been delayed till April 10th, 2020. And the big reason for that is that in 2019, when the film was originally planned, is when they hoped to release the Hobbs and Shaw spinoff movie with The Rock and Jason Statham's characters, the buddy cop movie, probably. So Tyrese took to Instagram to post the following. Hashtag PSA, congratulations to At The Rock and your brother-in-law, a.k.a. 7 Bucks producing partner, and he says his name, for making the Fast and Furious franchise about you and like you, DJ. Even if they call, I will not be deleting this post. Good night, folks. See you in 2020. April, hashtag Fast Family, right? Nah, it's all about hashtag Team Dwayne, Dewayne, hashtag 3 years. Will it be worth it? Hashtag no Shaw, just Hobbs. Will this be another hashtag Baywatch? Guys, just relax. I'm just a passionate film critic. Randy, what's happening here? Why is he trying to bite the hand that feeds him?
I don't know. Sounds just like a classic meltdown to me. But I'm also going to go on record as saying I really have no skin in the game because I have no shits to give for that franchise.
Aww.
But he's talking bad about The Rock, and you love The Rock.
I do like The Rock, so I don't know. When it comes, if I had to make a choice between the two of them, I could I just couldn't give up my Rock.
For me as an audience viewer, the best part of the last movie was the Statham Rock combo, and I feel like if I were Universal, I would want to strike while the iron's hot and get that movie going and give people a little bit of a break from Fast and Furious. We've been at it like every 2 years. We've been getting a new movie since like 2009. So it's not a bad thing for them to just step away for a second and get the bearings while they have a fun movie in the middle.
Yeah, here's a fun game for you, Justin. How many followers do you think Tyrese has on Instagram?
I don't know, like 500,000.
Randy, what do you think?
I don't know. I'll say 1.5.
8.9 million followers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And his posts that I thought would have been much more popular, it's like kind of like a weak engagement post for him. He's only got like 100,000 likes, to where he posted a video of a picture of like from Fast and the Furious 1. It's got 258,000 likes. I don't know.
Well, to be fair, I think Justin and I could be right. It probably does fall somewhere between 500,000 and 1.5 million. All the rest are fucking bots.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know what to say, but Tyrese's out of his mind. He's going to get himself fired from Fast 9. He's not going to get the payday. People are going to be like, Roman who? Especially because they got Shaw now. Shaw can just slide in.
That is kind of weird that he just gets a free pass after blowing up their best friend.
Yeah, invites him to their family dinner.
Yep.
Asshole. But, that's all I got. You guys got anything else? You ready for night-night?
I do not. I gotta go. I am dying.
All right. What about you, Randy? You good?
I'm good. I'm super good.
All right. Well, while Justin goes and finds a corner to die in, you guys make sure to follow us on Twitter, at Geek Legacy. We love interacting with you, so if you have any comments, questions, concerns, ancient Chinese recipes, anything like that, you can always hit us up there. And then make sure you go to geeklegacy.com for your geek news and reviews. And hopefully Justin will feel up to recording an episode of the Pixelated Podcast today with Stephen K. James, and they can entertain you again. So until next time, I'll talk to you guys another time.